It's time to change the situation if Tottenham wants to change.
It's in the past, it's in the past. Then we look forward, buy our football positive. We're wearing Tottenham shirts, we play the Tottenham way.
And still Ricky Villa! What a fantastic run! He scored!
That's going to have a crack. He is, you know. Oh!
Hello, welcome to the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Dan Kilpatrick. I'm with Tom Barkley, who is in his car, preparing to drive to Hotspur Way, I think, Tom?
I am, yeah. Well, actually, I'm driving to the station and getting the train.
I stand
down the miles of late, but yeah, it feels like every day is to Tottenham in some capacity, whether it be the ground or the training ground. But
yes, it's very full on at the moment, but I suppose that is a good thing. Spurs remain in all three cup competitions after last night's win over Elfsborg in the Europa League. That booked their place in the knockouts. They finished fourth in the initial phase. Goals from three academy graduates, Dane Scarlett, Demola Ajayi, and of course Mikey Moore. We're going to talk about that game. We're going to look at Van de Ven's return briefly. Another potential injury with Radu Dragosin hobbling off. We'll look at transfers before the end of the month. Matthias Tell, obviously a big target. And Daniel Batty, who I'm sure you've all heard of, set to join from Manchester City to boost the academy numbers as well. And then we'll look ahead to Brentford and have a kind of quick vibe check ahead of Liverpool and Villa in what feels like a really decisive week for the club. So, Tom, first of all, last night, I mean, I felt it was a real feel-good occasion that everyone needed, frankly. It's always good when an academy graduate scores and scores their first goal for the club. When it's three, you know, that's a really positive night. And I think, along with the Van de Ven return, it kind of gave everyone a lift and you could feel kind of good energy in the stadium again for the first time in I don't know how long.
Yeah, absolutely right. I was going into it thinking, just Tottenham, please, just one easy night with a routine victory. And it, not only was it that, but it also, as Ange Postecoglou called it afterwards, it was a nice story to tell. Made in Tottenham, another quote from him about the three academy graduates. I thought Tottenham, despite it taking a while to sort of break Elfsborg's resistance, were totally dominant. In the first half, I felt like Elfsborg came along 4-5-1. Yes, they haven't played, they're during their off-season at the moment. They've only played two competitive games since December the 12th, albeit they were both in Europa League and they were both 1-0 victories. So, they're, you know, not to be to be underestimated, victories over Karabag and Nice. So I guess it was a potential banana skin, but right from the off, Spurs looked in complete control. It was just a matter of how they were going to break down that low block. And, you know, we'll come on to the academy graduates in a second, but just from the first half, I actually thought Son was Tottenham's best player. And I think actually in the last three games, that one included, his form has picked up a bit. I thought he was pretty good against Hoffenheim. Obviously, he scored the two goals. I thought his performance was pretty good. I thought it was actually the one positive from Leicester, mainly from the first half. He faded a bit in the second half, but I thought he was quite good in that game, despite that being an absolutely disastrous result. And last night, all right, it is perhaps mediocre opposition, particularly the sort of wing-back he came up against, who must still be feeling dizzy right now from the amount of times the Son sort of with his tricky feet danced around him. But it was the sort of fleet of foot and sharpness of vintage Son, really. We've seen perhaps vintage Son with the finishing of late, but that was really exciting to see. So, but then obviously came off at halftime, which was pre-planned, just like Van de Ven. And then in the second half, it was the academy graduates who took over. And I'll let you sort of pick it up from there, really, Dan. I think Dane Scarlett's situation was probably the most interesting part of it because it obviously sparked the goal rush. But as soon as he came on, before that he even scored, we thought, oh, that's interesting because that means he can no longer be sent out on loan, which had been the plan when he got recalled from Oxford through a lack of game time.
Yeah, before I do the academy graduates, just to pick up on Son, I agree. I think you could see last night from the first time he touched the ball, he kind of took this great touch and just killed his fullback dead and turned him. And then that set the tone for him rinsing his man almost every time. It wasn't always the same player, I think. I think the chance for more, it was the left-sided fullback had come over, but he was brilliant. And yes, there's a caveat about the standard of the opposition, but I think Postecoglou's approach feel so much healthier in every regard when you've got two wingers who are taking on their man every time. And that was the case last night. Moore faded a bit in the middle of the game, but he started brightly and was taking on his man. And Son was just going for it time and again. And I think he made three big chances in the first half just from getting to the byline, getting round his man and squaring. So more of that, please.
I think on Son, that key point about his touch right from the off being really spot on. And I think for such a top player who's technically so gifted, that's been part of the issue this season. There have been games, I don't know whether it's due to confidence, where his touch has been a bit off it in games and his passing hasn't been as crisp as it can be. And that's sort of underlined the kind of malaise at times that he suffered this season. So perhaps that early touch that he took, which really sort of gave him that boost of confidence to remember what a top player he is, was key to that performance. And as you say, more of that please in the future.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the guys who kind of analyse Ange's approach say that it's really crucial to have kind of dribbly wingers taking on their men. And we saw that last night from Moore and Son. And obviously we'll come on to Mathias Tell and other transfer targets, but it looks like Spurs are in the market to try and add more of that to the squad. So on to the academy graduates. Yeah, I think Scarlett is obviously an interesting issue. We were advised when he came back from loan at Oxford United that this was not the kind of Hail Mary transfer move to save the squad. It was actually with a view to getting him another loan, because Gary Rowett came in at my hometown club, Oxford United, replacing Des Buckingham, and Scarlett kind of quickly fell out of favour there, and Oxford signed another forward. So he wasn't going to get much game time in the second half of the season. It was his third disappointing loan in the last three seasons, really. He was at Portsmouth. He started a fair few games there, but didn't make a huge impact and was more often a sub. He then went to Ipswich last season, who obviously were flying in the Championship, didn't play a great deal, barely started for them and was an impact sub. So it's been a really frustrating time for him over the last 4 years, really. I mean, he broke through, I think, at 16, 17. And I remember clearly Mourinho saying, I wanted to give him his Premier League debut because I wanted to be the manager who was remembered for that, because he's going to be a great player. And it was a great quote. It was vintage Mourinho, you know, basically admitting that, you know, his ego had compelled him to get this great young player on the pitch. But we haven't really seen much of that. And I think when he has played for Spurs in these games in the Europa League or Conference League, he's looked pretty underwhelming. And last night was, I guess, the first time where, you know, a really big chance fell to him for a while. He took it very well. It was a good, brave kind of cushioned header to break the deadlock. And then you could kind of see the confidence flowing through him. And he set up Ajayi as well with a deft kind of unselfish touch. So really changed the game. And you know, it was an important win for Spurs. It was important that they could get that lead and kind of ease off a little bit, I guess, because a lot of those players are going to be needed to go again against Brentford. And Kulusevski spoke to a couple of our colleagues afterwards and said, I love Dane Scarlett. I think he can be useful in the second half of the season, which was interesting. I imagine Will Lancashire now goes on loan today or over the weekend. Mm. Scarlett fills his place in the squad, but he will hope to play more than Lancashire has, because it's felt like Lancashire got a couple of early opportunities in the Europa League, got sent off. Who was it against?
Galatasaray. He scored his first senior goal and then got sent off later on in that game.
Right.
Hasn't
really trusted him since. Is that fair to say? It hasn't felt that way to me.
Yeah, he's made six appearances, but I don't know if he started since then. And they, you know, there was the Tamworth game, which was probably one of the most obvious games where he might start him, and he didn't. He didn't actually use him at all in that match. He went with Solanke off the bench. Werner obviously started through the middle, and that was probably a telltale sign. I think Lancashire is really highly rated at the club from everything I'm led to believe, and he is only 19. Remember, this is a player that won the PL2 award last season, of which there are many players in over the last few years who've done that and gone to do really, really well in football generally. So there's by no means an element of giving up. But now I think the feeling is, like you say, alone in the second half of the season, regular game time is the right thing for him. It may even happen today. I'm told Cardiff are amongst the ones that are really, really keen on him. I suppose for him, it's the key is not so much the club and where they're at in whatever division it might be, probably the Championship, although I know there's interest abroad as well. It's about game time. It was interesting in the pre-season, he was I think most people sort of saw him behind Dane Scarlett and Alejo Veliz, but he sort of seemed to win over Ange with those performances in pre-season, particularly with, he scored a couple of goals, but it was his sort of energy that he brought to the team. And he does seem to be quite fitting with the, you know, the ultimate way Ange wants to play, or which we've actually seen not as much this season with the cutbacks for the centre forward to finish off, but he's primed for that kind of football. And on back onto Scarlett. So Ange talked about Scarlett yesterday. He said, he referenced what you were basically saying about that he'd had a couple of difficult loans and they just thought it was better to keep him here and give him opportunities or keep him at least training with the team for the rest of the season. And it is easy to write off young players when they have difficult loans, particularly strikers. And I guess I'm not obviously comparing him to Harry Kane, but it's not like Kane's early loans really suggested in any way what was to come. Or Andros Townsend, maybe that's a better example. He had loads of loans, didn't he, earlier in his career.
You have just compared him to Harry Kane. So,
all right, Harry Kane's situation. But Townsend, sort of early loans, he had so many of them and it took a while before it really started to click. And he became a really, really good, important first-team player who had a really, really good career. So Scarlett at 20, you know, he took his chance well. It's all about confidence and let's see where he can go from here. I mean, I guess then we move on to Ajayi, who was, let's be honest, I mean, obviously we've been at all the games recently, so I have noticed his name being on the team sheet of late, but I can't say out of all the youngsters, I'd sort of noticed him as much or was sort of really sort of swatting up on his backstory. So when he came off the bench to make his debut and then scored such a great goal, it really made you take up a notice. And I don't know if you saw his interview with Tottenham afterwards, but it was the classic sort of wholesome content. It was just really, really nice to see. And he said when he came on, because he was asked about the goal specifically, he said that he sensed that Elfsborg were tiring and there was more space than he was probably expecting. So he just thought, why not go for it? Gave her 1-2 with Scarlett and had a bang and it went in the corner. But what a moment for him, and underlining the strength and depth that the academy is producing. Just a brilliant night for Wayne Burnett and the whole of the academy.
Yeah, just a quick one on Scarlett. I'm done with, I think, seeing Son through the middle in serious games. So we are, what, probably 3 or 4 weeks away from Solanke being fit. And obviously, we've got to hope Richarlison stays fit in that period. So I do hope we see a bit more of Scarlett from the bench in that interim when Richarlison tires, because I don't think Spurs have a kind of another clear option. We will get on to Matches Tell and whether, if they sign him, he could be that option. But I think it would be great to think that Scarlett's going to get a few more chances from the bench. And yeah, Ajayi, sorry, go on, Tom.
Well, I was going to say, just on Richarlison briefly, I actually thought he was a little underwhelming last night. Perhaps it's a bit much to expect after he's coming back from injury for him to perform brilliantly every week. But yeah, he was someone who was a little quiet last night, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, he's got 2-2 in the league, so I think he's made a decent impact since returning. But yeah, agreed. And on Ajayi, I confess, I sort of barely heard of him. You know, he wasn't one of the academy players on my radar, so to speak. Olu Sesi, who I think came on at Hoffenheim for the last few minutes, is someone kind of I'm much more aware of, for example. Hadn't heard much about Ajayi. I know he's a right winger. Obviously, Ange just has seen enough to think that, you know, he deserved an opportunity just to get on the pitch last night, and Ange probably wasn't expecting him to do what he did. But you know, a really great moment. And as I said at the top, I just think when you get those kind of moments, especially for a club that's kind of felt low and sort of on its knees of late, it just gives everyone a lift, because there's nothing fans enjoy seeing more than academy graduates, A, playing and B, scoring important goals. And then Mikey Moore, I mean, I feel like we've done so much about Mikey Moore, but it is good for him. I think you asked that, Ange, or maybe it was our colleague George Session, asked Ange about his first goal last night. And I think it was George. It's good for him to kind of get off the mark, because he's had a couple of chances to, you know, before his illness, which he didn't take. I recall a really good chance at the back post with his head in one of the early Europa League games that he didn't take. And with someone like him, who's obviously going to be, you know, a big player and going to be a big player in the second half of the season as well, I think just getting off the mark takes the pressure away, kind of will free him up even more. So I'd be surprised if that's his last goal of this season.
He was pretty electric from right from the off, wasn't he? Back to what you were saying about Andrew System being so reliant on the wingers taking on their men and beating them, who more in the first couple of minutes just ran at his man. It just sort of underlined why everyone in football and we are so excited about his talent. And again, watching the interview that he did with Tottenham afterwards, obviously he was beaming from ear to ear, but he was saying how frustrated he was to have been out for so long with that virus, because he felt like, because of injuries to other players, that was going to be a real opportunity for him to get minutes, develop further. And I guess that's just the way it goes, particularly for Tottenham this season, but it is a shame on that front. But he also felt like he had to score, seeing as two academy graduates had scored ahead of him. And it's pretty rare. I can't remember another game where three academy graduates have scored their first goals for a club in one match. So that was strange. And just to sort of round off the academy love-in, I think Andrew's comments right at the end were pretty fair. You know, he said, as he said consistently throughout this, about growth and what the players are going to get out of this through adversity. And I know it's falling on deaf ears for some supporters because of the results in the league, and every week it gets harder and harder to make that case. But just like the injuries, they're an undeniable fact. This will, whoever gets to benefit from it, whether it is Ange long term or if it's another manager, if things go a different way, these players will really, really benefit from this experience, particularly more because he's the one. As well as it was good to see Scarlett and Ajayi to score last night, Moore is the one that pretty much everyone not only is pinpointing as a future regular first team player, but potentially, you know, an absolute superstar. So just great to see all round.
Yeah. And Van de Ven made his return from injury, played 45 minutes, which was planned, and said afterwards he had planned all three half-time substitutions. It was Son, Van de Ven and Bentancur going off for Kulusevski, Dragosin and Bissouma. I thought Van de Ven added an immediate kind of calmness and assurance and balance to the back line that's obviously been missing. I thought he really did bring a positive energy to the stadium, which Ange had predicted he would, and a kind of assurance to the whole team. I think he kind of raised everyone's levels. And it's been such a rough period without both the centre-halves, more or less since the start of November, really. I mean, the Chelsea game was obviously a kind of one-off when both Romero and Van de Ven came back and then were out again. But it's been such a long time. It's been kind of almost easy to forget kind of how good both players are. And last night, I think, again, notwithstanding the quality of the opposition, was a reminder of that. Every time he sort of stepped out of defence to make a 50-50 challenge, I thought he won the ball. I haven't seen the stats, but there were at least three or four occasions when that happened. And that just allowed Spurs to kind of remain relentlessly on the front foot in the first half. Obviously, they didn't get the goal, but I thought he played very well. And I'm sure that went perfectly to plan, really, for Ange and the medical staff.
Yeah, I never consider myself to be one of the most tactically astute journalists. I mean, some journalists, you know, sort of pride themselves on how well they see the game. I'm not one of those, but I do find it's, when he was back, he's back, it is glaringly obvious, even to me, and I guess Romero as well, but particularly Van de Ven because of his pace, how much of an effect he has on the tactical system of the team, allowing the team to push so much further up in the pitch. Because when he's not been there, often I've seen them in field and thought, oh, they're so easy to play through. And I still think that's an issue. But when you've got other defenders playing, particularly defenders who aren't defenders like Archie Gray, as well as he's performed, that gap between the defence and the attack, who are getting more and more tired because of lack of bodies and the games, so they're maybe not pressing like they used to, the gap in the midfield sort of gets even more stretched. And because of the way it's set up, it feels like it is getting easier to play through. But as soon as Van de Ven came back, and admittedly it was Elfsborg who played 4-5-1 and basically sat in and basically tried to get out a draw and played really, really low block. So not every team is going to play like that. But the whole team was a bit more sort of pushed up and a bit sort of more, not as stretched, I suppose. And I think it had a bigger impact on the performance. I suppose what I'm saying is, it's not just his technical ability or his pace, although those things are all relevant to this. It's that side of it, which underlines what a crucial miss he's been during this period. And I don't know about you, but every time he got the ball, I was, you know, couldn't help but be a bit like, you know, is he going to be okay? You know, the fear of re-injury. But he came through fine and said afterwards, obviously the 45 minutes was pre-planned. He felt fine. And let's just hope he can stay fit, because a fit Mickey van der Ven, for the reasons I just pointed out, plus the fact that he's technically a really excellent player, is absolutely crucial to Tottenham being able to turn this season from where it's at now to potentially a historic one.
Yeah, his return slightly offset, though, by a potentially nasty-looking injury for Dragosin. We don't know any details on that as we speak. Ange is up at 1:30 today. We're recording it on Friday morning. He's up in a few hours. I'm not sure if he's going to have the full picture by then, but he said afterwards it looked a bit of a nasty one. He kind of landed and jarred his knee about 15 to 20 minutes after coming on last night. It has felt like that's the way of things at Spurs over the last couple of seasons. It's almost like one in, one out so often. You know, someone comes back and then someone else gets injured. And there has been a real element of misfortune in that regard. I also think, you know, I know Dragosin is maybe not the most popular player with supporters, and there are questions over his sort of suitability for the system. But I think with Romero looking unlikely to be back for that crucial week, I do think he was, you know, potentially going to be so important in the Liverpool game in particular, which would feel like it was going to be a sort of backs to the wall game, where he tends to be much better than when the games when he's playing on the halfway line. I think those are the games when Spurs have had to be on the front foot where he's looked most vulnerable. I can think of, you know, the Carabao game, for example, when he was sent off and he was caught on the halfway line, or even Galatasaray, where he had a bit of a nightmare when Spurs are trying to play high. But actually, Liverpool are going to force Spurs back, and you'd want Dragosin next to van der Ven if Romero's not fit. So who knows? He might be okay. It might be a minor injury, but, you know, the knee's always a bit of a sensitive area, and you kind of fear the worst. So we await an update on that one. And I guess, everyone at the club's going to be crossing their fingers that it's not a serious one, because that would just heap the pressure on Romero to get back quicker, keep the pressure on van der Ven to not only stay fit, but kind of hit the ground running this week. So, Spurs could really do with Dragosin not being injured now.
Absolutely. And I suppose it's been kind of missed throughout this, just how much he's played. I mean, it was ironic, wasn't it? Because he wasn't playing at the start of the season, and, you know, stories were starting to emanate about the frustrations. And then now he's just been the most sort of relied upon player, or one of, during this period. One observation, it was interesting to see Davis play left back rather than Archie Gray. I think it worked quite well, actually. As much as I don't really think Davis is suited to the left back that Postecoglou wants, I actually thought he was probably more effective than Archie has been in that position of late. And presumably it was because van der Ven's left footed and he felt like it was a more well-balanced back four. But I thought they performed pretty well. And I would presume if Dragosin was out and Romero isn't back, remember he called Romero a slow burner and wasn't on the horizon for this weekend. So, I'd be surprised if he was brought straight back in for Liverpool. Bear in mind what happened at Chelsea when he was brought straight back in. Then, you know, you could be looking at that back four. And I don't know, I think it's not something to be completely sort of scared about. I mean, I guess any of the back four coming against Liverpool, for any team, it's a real challenge. But I just thought that Davis playing there actually worked pretty well.
Yeah, I think it was to give a more natural balance with a right footer and a left footer in the middle, wasn't it? But yeah, I agreed. Let's talk about transfers. I'm sure everyone is itching to hear our take on Mathias Tel. I mean, I think our understanding on that one is that Spurs are in talks with Bayern. They're hopeful of agreeing a fee for him. There are other clubs in for him. I don't think, as it stands, he is necessarily given Spurs the green light that it's them he wants to join. So I think while that transfer is clearly ongoing, I don't think it's a sure thing as yet at all. But I mean, what do you make of it in terms of the profile of Tel and what he would potentially add to the squad?
Well, it's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because people have been sort of saying no more teenagers, and yet he is 19. But I suppose because of the quality and the amount of expense he would cost, he's a bit of a different one compared to your average teenager. I mean, Matthias Tell has had a difficult season. He's only played, I think he's 8 games in the Bundesliga, only a couple of starts or a handful of starts, hasn't scored in any competitions. But he is generally regarded, including by Harry Kane, as one of the most exciting players, young players in Europe. He can play across the front three, so he would suit the kind of versatile forward that Spurs have been looking at. You know, obviously, he looked at Mwani, it didn't happen. Speaking to sort of colleagues in Germany, they get the sense that he wants to play centre forward. Now, obviously, Solanke's out injured for a bit, but is pretty much the number one. Although Ange has regularly said that he wants to have two forwards to sort of to not put all the burden on one of them. Richarlison, you know, the hope was that it would be him, but I've got the sense last summer and still that if the club got a decent offer for him, they would take it, mainly because of his injury history, albeit he's back now, he's got a chance now to prove it. And actually, to be fair to Richarlison, when he has been fit under Postecoglou, he's actually been a good, his return's been pretty good, and he's been a solid contributor, despite what I said earlier about his Elfsborg performance. So he'd fit there, and he obviously could play wide as well. And I think Tottenham, despite the situation they're in the league, as long as they steer clear of that, is an exciting place to be in terms of the emerging youngsters, and he would fit right into that. Some of the reporters I've been speaking to in Germany think £50 million is a lot of money for Tell, maybe slightly overpriced, but I suppose at that age, it's always the way that young players in modern football cost a lot. So it's, like you say, it seems like it's down to whether Tottenham can convince him, because I think there are clubs in France, in Germany, Villa, Chelsea, Man United, who all quite fancy him. Sounds like, from German reporters' point of view, that Chelsea was less interesting to him because he wants to play. That's why he wants to leave, and he doesn't feel like he's guaranteed to play at Chelsea. But I don't know, Dan, do you think if he comes in, he's guaranteed to play at Tottenham as well, particularly through the middle?
I think he's guaranteed to play this season pretty quickly, given the state of the squad. I mean, if he joined this weekend, he would come into a squad that's without Brennan Johnson, Dom Solanke, Timo Werner and Wilson Odegaard. So, you know, there would immediately be minutes available. And then I think he would have a chance to, prove that he deserves to play when there's more players fit again. So, yeah, I think from that point of view, Spurs are an appealing option. And as you said, like, Richarlison, I think, has always done pretty well when he's played under Ange, which Ange has been at pains to point out. But he, for various reasons, fitness being one, he doesn't feel like a kind of sure thing through the middle that you can kind of rely on. And he can play wide as well. So, I broadly agree with you. I think Tell is obviously like a really exciting player. But it's very much in keeping with what Langer's been doing since he joined Spurs. You know, signing the best teenagers in Europe means you might have a great team in a year's time or 2 or 3 years' time, but you can't really rely on these players to help you, you know, immediately and hit the ground running. There was a quote from Ange just a couple of days ago. Admittedly, it was in reference to Yang, who's a completely different proposition to Tell, to be clear. But he did say quite clearly, "The last thing I want to do is throw another young player out there." That was a direct quote. And lo and behold, a few days later, Spurs are negotiating for a 19-year-old to join his squad as perhaps the only January signing. So I do think we have to bear in mind that for all his quality, it could easily be a situation like Bergvall, where he's obviously talented, but takes a little while to get up to speed.
Yeah, but he has had some big game experience, to be fair, Tell. It's not quite the same. He started
9 top flight games in his entire career. I think in Germany. I don't think he started a single Ligue 1 game, because he did join Bayern as a 17-year-old. He started 9 Bundesliga matches. I mean, he's obviously a huge talent. He started a couple of Champions League games as well, but he is still 19, I think turning 20 pretty soon. But he's still a young player, and he'll be having to adapt to a new league. I'm sure he is very talented. And I think there's reason to think that he would be more of a Gray than a Bergvall, and that he could help the team pretty quickly. But you know, is this a signing who I think could, you know, immediately move the dial against Liverpool? Possibly, but expecting that of him, I think would be unfair given his age and experience.
That's asking a lot, I think. Yeah, I think you make a good point. But also, it doesn't feel like a desperate transfer. It feels like, whether you agree with the whole approach or not, it is sticking to their approach. It's not suddenly going, oh, we need someone. Like, for example, there were talks about Johan Visser, who would probably be a good signing, to be fair. But the other day, there was a suggestion that Spurs had opened talks with that. My understanding is that not the case. That would be, at 28, turning 29, a dramatic shift from where they've been going so far. Not to say that he wouldn't be a good signing, because he's a good player, but that would be a sort of more, that would more suggest or smack of a desperate attempt to change the approach they've gone down. So at least, again, whether you agree with it or not, Tell is joined up thinking with how they've been going so far. But it does very much seem like it is dependent on them convincing him to come. And there seems to be a long way to go on that one.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Should we look ahead to Brentford quickly? Obviously, Ange's speaking in a few hours, as I've said. So
we're missing the draw as well, aren't we?
We're missing the Europa League draw, yeah.
There are four teams, aren't there? So Sociedad, back to Galatasaray, AZ Alkmaar, who obviously they played already as well, and Michigan, if I pronounce it right, in Denmark, for purely reasons of wanting to go there. Yeah. Sociedad and San Sebastian is top of my list. Galatasaray, I think you want to, not just because we've been there already, I think they want to avoid that because they got absolutely battered there earlier this season. I mean, it was 3-2 in the end. I thought it was 3-1, and then I looked it up the other day, they scored again, didn't they, with Solanke? But it really could have been 7 or 8. And for all the, you know, the critics of Fraser Forster, and it's quite telling now that Austin's starting in the Europa League over him since Kinski's come in. He actually played really well in that game from a saving point of view. We know he's a good shot stopper, and if it wasn't for him, that could have been a big scoreline and a heavy defeat for Spurs. So not really fancying a return there, particularly. Albeit, I suppose Spurs would be at home in the second leg. I think that's right. So you know, they should fancy their chances against anyone, but I don't know. I feel like the atmosphere got to Spurs that night, albeit they had quite a sort of young team out that day, but they always have a young team out.
No, I agree with you. I don't think you want Gala of those four teams, just because it's a hard place to go. And in a two-legged tie, there's potential for a loss away from home. And then, you know, you never know what could happen at home. You never know what the state of the squad could be. And it could be a very tough tie indeed. So yeah, I agree with you there. And yes, for purposes of potential travel, a nice sort of spring trip to Spain would suit me, and I think most supporters, I imagine. A quick look ahead to Brentford before we wrap up, because I've actually got to go to Ange's press conference in 15 minutes. I mean, I guess one thing I've talked about quite a lot this winter is the kind of need for a sort of circuit break in the schedule, just because I think with the squad in the state it's been in, you know, 10 to 13 fit players most weeks, it's almost unsustainable trying to play high intensity football every 3 days. It's kind of impossible. So I do just wonder, and Kulusevski touched on this in an interview last night as well, whether the fact that last night felt like a kind of half-paced game that Spurs completely dominated and played on the front foot, and B, the fact that Ange was able to make those halftime changes and change a few others in the second half, might be a really positive thing and just mean that with the guys returning from being ineligible, so Kinski and Spence, I guess, and maybe Reguilon for the bench, we might see a kind of fresher team that's more able to press and kind of go at Brentford early on, which I think is always important to Postecoglou's football. I guess that's what Postecoglou will be hoping for, and that'll be the aim.
Yeah, I agree. Last night, apart from Dragosin, and we wait to find out, it went about as well as it could have done from keeping the team as fresh as possible. But having said that, as Kulusevski pointed out in his excellent interview that he did ahead of the Elfsborg game, the team are kind of on the floor from having to play the same 9, 10, 11 players for months now. And, I mean, Brentford away. I mean, Brentford at home, different proposition this season. But Brentford away from home, they're so solid at the GSEC, aren't they? And Brian Mbeumo, he's caused Spurs all manner of problems over the years. He's a top player. He's one that I definitely hope that Spurs are in for in the summer if he is available. Because he's a goal scorer, he's an excellent player, someone that, you know, Newcastle, lots of teams would be looking at, you'd think. And keeping him quiet is going to be an issue. And Thomas Frank's someone who organises his team very, very, very well. So I don't really know what's a good result. Obviously feeling quite positive off the back of last night, but then you go back and look at the league form and it's such a disaster that I think getting a draw similar to Van de Ven's first game, Ange's first game when they drew 2-2 and Emerson Royale, remember him scoring an absolute worldie in that game? That wouldn't be a bad result the way things are going right now. But, you know, a victory could be transformative, to be honest, to the mood, to the situation, possible relegation battle, obviously. That would make a big difference to that and would be huge going into this massive week. We've got transfer deadline day on Monday, where hopefully Spurs can do something and lift the mood on that front. And then obviously into Liverpool and Aston Villa.
Yeah, it's a funny one, really, because losing there would be disastrous in the circumstances. It would suck Spurs even further toward the relegation zone. It would continue this dreadful run of form. But in a way, it wouldn't really change anything significantly, would it? It would still feel like the season is much, much more dependent on the Liverpool and Villa games. So it's a slightly funny dynamic. And I actually asked Kulusevski before the Elfsborg game whether they'd taken their eye off the ball in the league. So I think it's a question that kind of feels increasingly relevant to me. The more Ange talks about doing something special and the more the players talk about winning something, the more I think, hold on, you guys are in free fall in the league here. You need to get some points on the board there. So yeah, I agree with you. You know, a win would obviously be huge going to that big week. But, you know, equally, I don't think Ange is going to get sacked if they lose the game, you know, even considering the league four. So
that's what I was going to say. I think, you know, if it's a bad defeat, maybe people will be calling, particularly online, for Ange to go. I presume Daniel Levy will get a bunch of stick in the stands, like he does pretty much every game. It's just like the levels of volume on that, depending on the result. But I got the sense a few weeks ago that he would at least be given the chance to go to the Liverpool game because of the significance of maybe getting to a cup final. So seeing as we're there now, having lost at home to Leicester, why would that be any different away to Brentford, you know, in the days leading up to that final particularly? And then last night, sort of, yes, it was Elfsborg and it's not enough reason to sort of change all opinions, but it sort of underlined when it works, it can be, his style can be very effective. You don't get the sense of, you know, players running out of sort of patience or faith in the manager, as Kulusevski very much articulated very, you know, strongly in that press conference, and that's from the best player in the team. So that's quite telling, I suppose. So, but yeah, I just think it would be a massive mood shift if they could go and win here, and then it would all be right. What can be achieved? But look, it's hard. Brentford away is tricky at the best of time.
Yeah, agreed. Right, I really do need to go and see Ange. So we will try and be back after the Brentford game with a reaction pod where we'll look ahead to that massive Carabao Cup decider at Liverpool and then the FA Cup fourth round with Villa. We'll follow hot on the heels of that one. So no shortage of big games coming up for Spurs. But in the meantime, thank you very much for listening and bye for now.